One of the terms that I'd like you to sort of I like to explain before I dive into the meat and potatoes is financial, managerial, and technical capability. This is a term that is repeated throughout the regulations, whether you're looking at the TCEQ rules or the PUC rules. It's essentially a prerequisite for any utility to be before they grant or granted either a certification for a public water supply or for a CCN. And I'll get into a little bit later what the difference between a public water supply is and a CCN. I've kind of already touched on this, but regionalization is the combining of certain aspects of two or more water and or wastewater system operations, physical plants or service areas. This comes up frequently with, especially in times of high growth, because whenever we're when we're experiencing growth, CCNs are ultimately going to expand and interfere probably with the neighboring CCNs. And so where there's opportunity to regionalize, maybe through a merger or through, say, emergency interconnection or something like that, the policy and throughout the state has always been to encourage those types of regionalization. It protects taxpayer dollars. It also ensures that water or sewer service isn't going to be interrupted. Some examples of regionalization could be through just an agreement to share equipment or to buy treatment chemicals. There are there could be partnerships to share operators, facilities, like I said, emergency interconnections. And another form of regionalization that's become pretty big here and throughout the state is regional water planning. I had the experience when I was living in San Antonio and working for the San Antonio River Authority of working intimately with the South Central Regional Water Planning Group, otherwise known as Regionel. And there is essentially a group of stakeholders that are coming together to see and plan for the next 50 years of water, trying to figure out what the demands are, what the long-term needs are, take into account things like climate and drought, and then plan to meet the water needs in order to ensure both economic sustainability, but also environmental sustainability. Okay, so now I'm going to try to get into the sort of the history. This is, I think, for me, the fun part of the presentation. There are, throughout history, there's been sort of some epic efforts throughout, I'm talking specifically about American history, but if you go back further and you look across the globe, you'll see some pretty robust efforts to get water centralized to one area. Civilizations have been trying to get to solve the problem of not having water in the right place for literally centuries. And I like this picture here because it shows that this pipe is made of wood. It doesn't make a lot of sense to a lawyer why they would make pipes of wood. It also doesn't make sense to an engineer why they would do that. So we've come a long way with investments and science, and so luckily we're not making wooden pipes anymore, but we are investing heavily in new technologies and new science. One, I think, really good example that's more local is the water system in San Antonio. There's a, if you're familiar with the San Antonio area, you're probably familiar with the missions down there. Mission Espada, for example, has a an aqueduct. I think it's the oldest in North America that's still existing. It's a pretty cool site. I recommend going down there. I used to give tours of the mission when I was working at the San Antonio River Authority, and so that was something I like to kind of throw in my presentation. So there are some deductions we can take from history. One, early civilizations made major community investments to enhance public water systems for irrigation, industry, and domestic use. And the reason I put this up here is because it shows, I think it gives some justification as to why we have CCNs today, and I'll get into that in a few slides. But ultimately, we have decided, I think out of necessity, that it's important that we have water coming to one source that we share. And we understand that through water systems and through regionalization that we can share a resource and make sure that we're planning in maintaining that resource and that it's good for a long time. Over time, because of this resource that we've been sharing, we've developed complex laws and regulations to help distribute that, sometimes in a fair way and sometimes maybe perceived in an unfair way, but ultimately we improve over time. And at the end of the day, water, specifically water service, but also sewer service, is an essential service. Part of the things that we're going to be talking about today are, as I said, CCNs. And I think what we've talked about a little bit, what I've heard today at today's conference so far, is the concept of local control. And I think when we start getting into discussions about CCNs and we start talking about ETJs and corporate limits and so on and so forth, we're really looking at who has the power to control whatever that resource is locally and who ought to have that. I'm not here to make any judgments on what that ought to look like, but I do want to provide the context in which this all exists, specifically with regard to water and wastewater.